May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In these lessons, we can tell that for the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's struggle. It's not easy being a Christian. And for Jeremiah, he was a great prophet. He was really into social justice. But he even starts out and says, "Oh Lord, you have enticed me." And I was enticed. In other words, he's interested. He wanted to be with God the Father. And he says, "You won. You prevailed. You overpowered me." So that shows that there's a struggle in him, but he wanted to do good for the Lord, for God the Father, for those who are in need. And then when we go down a little further, he says, "I must cry out, violence and destruction." And I thought to myself, wow, it sounds like the news even today. We haven't grown up very much in the Lord in the last 1,000 or 2 years. So what happens? What's the real problem for him? Well, even his close friends. He says terror is all around, denounce him. And all of his friends, he's saying that all of his friends are watching for him to stumble. One of the things that we learn today, not only in the Gospel, but in the Old Testament, is our family and our friends. Not just going to school, going to work, doing the yard work, having all lots of distractions keeping us from worshiping God, but even our family and our friends can be a distraction. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because Peter didn't mean any harm, but he wanted Jesus to do what Peter wanted to do. Peter didn't want Jesus to go and be crucified. He wanted him to be safe with his friends, and that wasn't God's will at that time. So it was very hard. And then what happens? "But the Lord is with me." Jeremiah knows that God is with him and protects him. And for all of us, no matter what our troubles are, no matter what our stresses and strains or griefs or worries, no matter what they are, God will not leave us abandoned. He won't leave us alone. And in the end, God's will is going to win. Sometimes on earth it isn't, because it's a fallen world. We sin. We have free will as a gift. But the last verse in Jeremiah's reading today says, "For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoer." Jeremiah knows that God's will is going to be the winning hand. So then we get to the Gospel, and Jesus starts off, he's trying to teach us. We've had a lot about attitudes the last couple of weeks. Be gentle, be content, and watch our attitudes, because he's saying a disciple is not above the teacher. There's not supposed to be competition. A slave is not above their master. We have to learn to be content with who we are, and be secure in our love of God. And then our gentleness can show more. We can be more patient, more tolerant, more forgiving, more loving, more generous. All of that comes from our security in Jesus Christ being our Savior. And he tells them, and us even nowadays, following the Lord, following Jesus, is risky. It's difficult. It can be downright scary. Because he tells them, if the others call the master of the house, meaning Jesus, Beelzebul, how much more will they align the household. That's us. And Jesus tells them a lot of different times, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And if they reject what I say, they're rejecting God Almighty in heaven. So what do? We keep going, one foot after another, following Jesus and being as comfortable and strong in the Lord as possible, having no fear, because Jesus even said, don't have fear of them who can harm the body. Don't be afraid. So Jesus comforts them. He encourages them. And he tells again about God's protection and his care. What does he say? Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your hair, your head, are counted. What does that tell you? What does that say? That God Almighty even knows the number of hairs on your head. It means he knows everything about us, inside and out. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And the value we have, because God has made us, is just miraculous. Because God says, don't be afraid. We have more value in and of ourselves because we belong to God than many sparrows. And then the next part of the gospel, I know it's kind of distracting and difficult, but it's the same thing when Jesus says, I have not come to bring peace but a sword. If we have family members or friends that don't want us to be Christians, it's going to cause a problem. If we have people that we love trying to keep us away from worshiping God or loving God or following Jesus Christ, that's a problem. So what it is Jesus is saying, no distractions should come before your worship of God. God should be our goal. God should be our center. We should love him most of all. And he's very explicit. No distraction should come before our worship and love and obedience to God the Father. And for myself, where it says, those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it, is a perfect verse for a baptism. Because Cameron's family brought her here to be baptized. That's a symbol, that's a tangible offering, saying, God, we want you to be our Savior. We want to follow you as Lord. We want Cameron to be a member of your family. And what do? What is our vow today that we say just in a few minutes on page 304? We pray and we vow to God that we will continue, and this is how we stay focused on the Lord. We will continue in the apostles' teaching. We will continue in fellowship. That means meeting together, loving each other, encouraging each other. And we will continue in the breaking of the bread, meaning the gift of Holy Communion that Christ has given us and commands us to do. And we will continue in prayers. That is what the Lord wants. And that's what Jesus Christ deserves. And that's what we're here today for. We've accomplished it for today. Baptism is a joyous beginning. It's not the end. It's a joyous beginning. But it's also a time for each and every one of us that's here to be reconciled back to God even closer. To remember what we're supposed to know about the Lord. How we are to love him and love others before ourselves. And how we are to worship him each and every day. And each and every week together. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, help Cameron's family, the friends, all of us here in the church today to be good examples of Christ to her. Help us to be there for her every week, for her family. Help us to know your will, even for ourselves and for our families. And we ask that your Holy Spirit is working in us and that we listen and do. All of this we accomplish through our love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.